right, folks, we told you today that we were going to call David Letterman, and we're a little nervous. My heart's beating a little bit.
Yeah, he's got his, what is his, nightly top 10 countdown?
Yeah, his nightly top 10. We're hoping to make that grade and get on there.
Well, with 12.
Pitch. With
we
12.
Got 12.
We got 12, 12 right.
12 secrets.
Cool. All right, I'm dialing the number right now. I can't give it to you.
You still got one of those phones?
Yeah,
it looks
I
like
still
a
got the flip
Holy
phone.
Cow.
I know, it is. You can run over this thing with a tank and no problem.
Wow.
It's fortified.
That's old fashioned.
All right, okay, now let me concentrate. This is huge. All right.
He's gone.
Shh.
He's calling Dave Letterman.
Hi, is this the David Letterman show? This is Martin Zender. No, but you're going to hear about me eventually. Yeah, no, I don't want to talk to you. I'd like to talk to David Letterman. We have an idea for a show. You ever heard of the 12 Secrets of God? Well, you're going to. Would you just put David Letterman on? Okay, thanks. He's getting him.
Are you serious?
He's getting him. I was almost like testing God, like putting up a fleece, trying to turn the guy off. Like,
yeah.
If this is meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah, you might as well.
David, hey, this is Martin Zender. Did the guy tell you?
I can't believe he said
I know.
David
Letterman. We have 12 secrets of God. Hardly anybody knows about this, and I know you don't think this is important because you're an unspiritual man, you're ungodly. I've seen you. All you care about is celebrities and how wealthy people are, and you have a bunch of cars. Oh, sorry, that's the... Who's that? Who has the cars? I just
made a
big...
Oh, that's Jay Leno.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's Jay Leno. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about... I always think about Jay when I watch you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I am honest, if nothing else. That's true. All right, now listen, back to these secrets. You need this on your show because the world
10.
Needs to know about this. We're evangelists. I'm with my friend Dan Sheridan. Say hi, Dan.
Mr. Letterman, a big fan. Thank you.
Okay, this guy can juggle stuff. I've seen him. Okay, if this bombs, this 12 secrets, this guy can juggle stuff, all right? But I'm not worried about it because this isn't going to bomb.
Yeah.
We are dispensers.
Tell him about the coffee.
What?
Tell him about the coffee.
Oh, yeah, he juggles coffee. Filled with coffee.
Yeah, hot coffee.
Hot coffee and a plastic...
And don't forget to tell him between my legs.
Too. ...water cup, and he does it between his legs, and he throws a yellow... No. I know, you've never seen this. It's a yellow marker. Right. Yes, between his legs.
It's a Sharpie gel.
Okay, yeah, it's a Sharpie gel. But I'm not... Don't worry about any of that. We're evangelists, we need to get this stuff out of there. You can? He can put us on with Katy Perry.
Really?
Yeah, he's having Katy Perry... next Friday, and he says we can like be her lead in
opening act.
Yes, of course. Yes, we think she's great. Yes, he wants to know if you can sing.
Yeah,
he can sing.
I can sing. What?
Katie needs a backup singer.
What song?
Which song? The one we just watched on YouTube.
I kissed a girl.
Are you saying that my friend Dan Sheridan can be a backup singer? Okay, we're in. Wait a minute. You have a Bible study that night.
I do.
Sheridan's got a Bible study that night in Illinois. Can we just can't make it. This is our only shot. I say forget it, because this Bible study is important. You got people there that actually care. I don't know. I'm not thinking. Hang on, Dave. I'm not sure this is worth the trade-off. Dave, hang on. Can you hang on a second? Okay.
Well, actually, no. That's the week. We'll be in New York that week.
Oh!
But we got the Bible conference.
We got the conference in New York. Dave, I'm sorry. We can't do it.
Ask him if he can bring his crew to our conference.
Can you bring your crew to our conference? It's in Rochester. No, he can't. All right. It's just off.
How about then just tell him to send Katy Perry to the conference?
Can you send Katy Perry to the conference? He'll ask her.
Okay.
All right. That's all we ask, Dave. Hey, look, I'm sorry for bothering you. I took up a lot of your time. No, I appreciate it, too. Oh, that's okay. I'll try not to think about Jay Leno anymore.
Tell him I'll see him at the consummation.
And Dan will see you at the consummation. I will, too. All right. Yeah, you too. All right. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Bye.
No, we tried.
Hey, we tried. All right. Where were we?
Secrets, Matthew 13.
Oh, we're going to go to Matthew
Secret
13.
Of the
Kingdom. The Kingdom. All right. It's a strange thing when you read the four accounts, and especially Matthew, which is specifically about the kingdom of God, which is the 1,000-year kingdom. Jesus is heralding it. He's heralding the daylights out of it from Matthew chapter 1 to Matthew 13. Something strange happens in Matthew chapter 13. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, in Matthew 4, our Lord said, verse 17, thenceforth begins Jesus to be heralding and saying, repent, for near is the kingdom of the heavens. Now notice the time. It's near.
What verse are you at?
Matthew 4:17. And this kingdom is nothing other than the kingdom proclaimed in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44. In Daniel, we read about Babylon being replaced by Medo-Persia, Medo-Persia being replaced by Greece. They're literal kingdoms. And the kingdom our Lord's referring to here is the last kingdom, that mm-hmm. stone that's cut, that's made, you know, out without hands and just pulverizes the previous kingdoms. So he's talking about the literal kingdom of the heavens. It's going to be
literal,
just as literal as Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And the key to this, though, is the word near. And I wrote a note in my margin. You want to hear it?
I do.
I said near. 69 sevens were fulfilled in this time. This is, you know, the heptads in Daniel.
Yeah.
That's why it was near, only 7 years to go. It was near relatively.
Yeah.
The statement was prefixed by the word repent. The Lord Jesus said, repent, for near is the kingdom of the heavens. That repent is important. Now, it hasn't come yet, and this has led people to think, well, the kingdom already came, right? He must have meant it's spiritual. But that hasn't, the fact that it hasn't come yet does not disprove our Lord's words any more than Israel's failure at Kadesh Barnea proves they weren't near the promised land. Israel drew near the promised land, but they didn't get into it.
They were a day's walk,
and they didn't make it in. In Philippians 2, Paul talks about, I think it's Epaphroditus, who drew near to death, but he didn't die. He got close to it. Israel was right on the verge of entering the kingdom, but they didn't repent. And that's where the secrets of the kingdom come in. Why isn't this kingdom in Daniel 2 manifested? Why hasn't Messiah come and set up this universal sway here on the earth? And that's where the mysteries, the secrets, excuse me.
And Israel has to repent nationally.
Nationally.
It can't be a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there repenting. That's an excellent point, that this kingdom required the repentance of Israel, but in a real sense, it was near. And this is where our preterist friends make the huge mistake of not understanding this secret.
Right.
And no prophet saw this. No prophet saw that there would be an interruption in the nearness of the kingdom and the fulfillment of the kingdom. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but here in Matthew 13, Jesus is making way for what is going to happen with the Apostle Paul.
I think he is. He is, because of the delay.
There's going to be a delay, and nobody knows why yet.
And it's interesting here in Matthew 13, when he starts off these kingdoms, he tells these parables. And he starts it off in verse 4. He likens himself to a sower, somebody sowing seed.
Mm-hmm.
In the unveiling, he's a reaper. He's a reaper.
Right.
So sowing shows you that the reaping is way in the future yet.
Oh, yeah.
You get my drift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this kingdom, and let me just clarify. In Matthew, we have the phrase, the kingdom of the heavens. That is a very unique phrase, and it has to do with Israel's sovereignty over the other nations. And we have the phrase, kingdom of God. The kingdom, term kingdom of God has to do with being subject to God at any place, any time. That term is universal. It applies even
kingdom
now.
Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God.
But kingdom of the heavens.
Kingdom of the heavens.
Story.
Is, we can, you know, has to do with Israel's sovereignty. And that's what this secrets of the kingdom here are about, is Israel's sovereignty. Israel will not fulfill its role as the priesthood nation to lead all the rest of the nations to God until they repent. And they didn't repent, according as our Lord heralded, repent, for near is the kingdom of the heavens. So what happens is that kingdom is put off into the future. And that's why we have the secrets of the kingdom in Matthew 13, showing us why there was a delay and what was going to take place between up until that kingdom is set up. And he gives you reasons why the kingdom was delayed in Matthew 13.
And those reasons are remarkable. The fact that to you it is given to know the secrets of the kingdom. What verse is that, Dan? Is that around 14? To you has it been made known, yet to those outside it has not been made known. So here again we look at Jesus giving the truth, telling the secrets to his intimates, and at that time everyone else is being locked out.
Yeah, it's interesting here when he says to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. He tells it in parable form. And parables were never given to make truth clearer.
He gives it to the crowd.
He gives it to the crowds in a parable, but then he gives it to his disciples, his intimates.
Yes.
He explains it.
Right.
Because the whole point of this parable was to further blind unbelieving Israel.
Yes, further blind them, lest, Clyde gives a great talk on this, he blinds them lest they should see the truth. What verses? I know
well,
I
that's in the Gospel of John, but it's the same principle.
I thought it was in Matthew 2, 13 somewhere. It's the same principle that he blinds them lest they apprehend it, because it's really a simple thing, and you have to be blinded to not get it. And Jesus works hard to blind them. He does it with parables, and then since he wants his intimates to know the meaning of the parables, he elucidates the parables to them in private.
Yeah.
And this whole thing of this pause, people mock the idea that God would bring this thing close
And not bring it out. Yeah.
And not do it. But again, as you said, I think this is so important to see the scriptural precedent. It's not like God hasn't done this before. I mean, the first place I go to is in the garden when God tells Eve, your seed shall crush the head of the serpent. And she thought the seed was Cain.
Right.
Well, you're off by a few generations.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a little bit down the road. But God speaks as though, well, I'm going to use your seed to crush the serpent. So what else would she think? Is that my next offspring is going to be the one that does it? And yet, what a delay. What a delay.
I call it the divine comma.
It's a divine comma because...
On one of my radio shows, I talked about the divine comma in Isaiah 61, where the Lord Jesus, in Luke's account, gets up in the synagogue and he quotes Isaiah 61, and about the acceptable year of our Lord, comma in the English version, and the day of vengeance of our God. And in the account of Luke, he stops at the comma. Because it wasn't time for the day of vengeance.
He stops, hands over the scroll to the deputy, and sits down.
And he puts 2,000 years between the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance. And you see, and then in Luke 22, he talks about the day of vengeance. These are the days of vengeance. So he puts a 2,000-year gap in that comma. And like you said, I've heard people mock the idea that God puts things on pause.
He
does it all the time.
That's
exactly what he does, and there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Romans 9 through 11 explains all that. He plays things off against each other. You know, he tells Israel that, we can turn there. It's a divine principle real quick. And, boy, we're running. This is...
Yeah, then we're
going
to have
to wait on this.
We're going to go there for sure when we get to the secret of the length of Israel's blindness.
All right, but that's
where you're going now. Are you going to Romans 11? No, where are you heading?
More the principle. The principle that...
You're a man of principles.
I'm a man of principles. That's right.
Go ahead.
God locks some under stubbornness, you know, at one point.
All of this is revealed to a guy whose name means pause.
That's right. Paul means pause.
And we're going to pause for a mere 24 hours, but we will be back tomorrow dispensing to you secrets that are revealed in Scripture and yet somehow hidden.
Oh, my gosh.
Who is it?
He's calling back.
Dave's calling back.
Nope. All right. Perry.
It's Katie.
Hi, Katie.
All right, we got to take this call, folks. Dan's going to sing with Katie.
Sure,
this is too intimate to reveal to anybody.
Really?
We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Thanks and goodbye.
Okay.